Amen.
Thank you, choir, for that special. All over God's promised land. As we dismiss our children to Children's Church, those fifth grade and below, I ask you to find your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 18. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 18. Ask everyone if they will to stand and honor reading God's word this morning. They read like this. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, he replied, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking for me to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, and Abel-Meholah from your prophet in your place. Then Jehu will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. But I have left 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. Father, I pray, Lord, you just help us as we look at your word to look at it with integrity. Father, if there's one here that does not know your son Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that today would be the day that's of salvation. Father, I pray, Lord, that today that the person who's here who has trusted you for a long time, that they would be strengthened, they would be encouraged, and they would just rely upon you. For it is your son Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning we've been looking at several songs, singing several songs of worship, and looking forward to what is to come. Looking forward to a life time, an eternal life being spent with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in fellowship with Him and in fellowship with one another and in worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and singing praises to Him. Why do we sing songs of hope and songs of encouragement? Because sometimes life is difficult. Now we can have the hope of John 10:10 where it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. So let me ask you a question this morning. How many of us here have ever felt all alone? Have ever felt as if you were the only one left? Have ever felt that you were just facing so much that you couldn't go any farther? Well, that's exactly what we're going to see in the story of Elijah, and I want us to grab some encouragement from the steps that Elijah did and did not take. But I want us to learn something this morning from the life of a man, of a prophet named Elijah. And his love for his Savior, his love for his God, but also in the middle of controversy, how he felt alone. And this discouraged him. So kind of just give us a backdrop as we move forward. We'll look at some of the things that as Christians that we face, as individuals of this life, if you have not trusted Christ as Savior, some difficulties and struggles that you may be facing right now at the moment, and how maybe you too this morning are feeling as if you are all alone. But I want you to know there's hope found in Jesus. And we can trust in Him and we can rely upon Him. So has life ever seemed as if it was you against everyone and everything else? Is the question we want to kind of look at this morning. One manner of feeling alone is as a Christian, a feeling like you are the only one that's concerned about the gospel and its progression to sharing Jesus with others. Maybe you have felt that way this morning. You seems like you're constantly going, but no one else is with you. Maybe you feel as if you're all alone on an island by yourself, shouting the praises of the Lord, and no one else is helping you. Well, just like we see in our text, there's others that's doing the work of God. And we as God's children, we as His church, are called to just to serve Him. Because the lie that's being placed in your head that makes you feel as if you're alone is Satan causing you to want to do one thing. Stop. To quit. To not proceed any further. He wants you to feel as if you're alone. There's no one else. I know this is probably, if it's not you, it's probably at least crossed your mind. But as we look at God's Word, God's plan, there's no place within Scripture that says, when you've had enough, just quit. God will get someone else to carry the load. In fact, the Scriptures reveal something completely opposite. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 is kind of a warning. Carry forward. When it says this, for we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether it's good or worthless. So we'll be held accountable for our actions, for our steps, for everything that we've done, everything that we've accomplished, even when we felt alone. Even when we felt as if we were all by ourselves and no one was following or going with us. So the question, one question I need to ask this morning, are you serving in a good manner or are you serving in a worthless manner? Because we will be held accountable for the way that we serve. God notices every action, word, everything about you. And He will hold you accountable. But all we have to do is sit at His feet. Give Him control. Surrender to Him. And let Him do the work in and through you. That's the willing vessel that you need to be. So when you feel alone, instead of quitting like Satan wants you to do, dig in and serve. Psalm 100 verse 2. Psalm 100 verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. But there's also other manners of feeling alone that we may have or may come across. And that's our friendships. Friendships. Other than Jesus, nothing compares to your friendships with one another. To the friendships we find in Jesus is most important. But He places people around you to have friendships with each other. To carry one another's burdens. To be there with and for one another along life's way. The world is geared towards this. Life is all about me. And it's about nothing and nobody else. That's the world in which we live in. Friendships. Let me share something with you. That is not a friendship. When it's all about self and not about others. We see in Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 where it shares not only looking after the interest of yourselves, comma, but also looking after the interests of others. Being brothers and sisters in Christ. Being friends. Having friends. How can we have a friend? The first thing you must do is be a friend. So friendships. It's vitally important. Proverbs 27:17 shares this. Iron sharpens iron, as does one man sharpen another. Along life's way, as we cross paths with one another and we hone the edges of one another, we can sharpen one another to serve God for His honor and for His glory. In love, friends should hold each other accountable. But too often, because of our world, the way it acts and reacts seems to focus upon self-gratification, life is filled with fair-weathered friends. They'll be with you when times are going well, but when times get tough, they abandon you. They walk away. And then you get the feeling, I'm all alone. I'm all by myself. I'm on this island all alone. Nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. Let me share something with you. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. He's got your back, and He's guarding your front, and He walks at your side on both of them. You see, Proverbs 17:17 shares this. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity, or a brother is born for a difficult time. When the time gets tough, friends stick together. Friends grow closer to one another. Friends bond together. Why do so-called friends have these high expectations of things that they want you to hold up to? They hold the bar up so high that nobody can meet it. And once they realize that you're not going to be able to stand up to their perfection that they want you to be, they flee and they run and they get away. As I shared a moment ago, let me tell you, this is not a friend. Because a friend loves you in spite of your differences. A friend's there with you in spite of your differences. A friend is there with you to love you through all of life's circumstances and situations. Again, if you want to have a friend, you must be a friend. In our text, we see this man named Elijah, who faced both of these difficult situations and circumstances, and he got to the point where he did so much, he felt all alone. But as we look at the text closely, and we start in about chapter 17 of 1 Kings, we see a story that should be something of a man who felt everything but alone because of the power that God lived in and through him. Too often in life, this is what we do as Christians. We set these things in our life. And if we don't meet our own expectations, or others around us don't meet our own expectations, we feel let down or discouraged. And we neglect to see God at work each and every day of our lives, giving the breath that you breathe each and every morning, causing you to miss an accident on the way to work. Or maybe you're in an accident, another one happens a little bit later than when someone's life is taken. We was on the home last night from a place that we come through Calera. And so I think Richard and his wife came through the same area. You know, it's very inconvenient to be stopped along the road for 2.5 hours. I mean, nobody sets in their time schedule, you know what, I'm just going to plan a 2.5 hour delay on I-65 on a Saturday evening. Nobody sets that on their minds. But what, for some reason, would have been a minute or two earlier? And would have been part of the accident. That wasn't part of my message this morning, brother, but I know how that God works oftentimes. He prevents us from being a part of a catastrophe by working out the smallest and minutest of details. And we need to be aware of God at work in and through us and around us every day of our lives. And we need to give Him praise. We need to give Him honor. We need to give Him glory. However, as we'll see, Elijah reached a point to where he felt alone, as we just read about. So as we look at a few of Elijah's stories this morning, let us learn from him how we can keep going in the middle of adversity. Even when we feel all alone in life, we're never alone because Christ is always with us. And you fill in the blanks within the bulletin this morning. How can I stop feeling alone? Number one, start fighting. Start fighting, or keep fighting. This is how Elijah began his service to the Lord. Now, as we go and step through just a few stories of Elijah, you're going to get in your mind's eye, wow, was God not readily available? Was God not obviously at work in the life of Elijah? How could he ever get to the point that he felt so alone? We're no different. We're no different. God is active and at work in the hearts and lives of each and every person here. The biggest question we must ask it is, do we recognize it? Do we recognize it? So the first thing we want to look at this morning, and how do we fight? What does fighting look like? Where do I begin? Let's observe some of the things in the life of Elijah. First thing we want to do is discover exactly what a prophet did. You see, a prophet was a mouthpiece for God during times of immoral decline, of moral decline. And the immorality of the people rose up because they're pushing God away. They're pushing God out of their lives. You see, here's the truth of the story. When we do not feel God's presence in our life, it's not because He's left and gone anywhere. It's because we have pushed Him away from us. In life's difficulties and struggles, we often are guilty of doing that. Just pushing God out of the way and asking the question, why is this not happening in my life, for me, for my reasons, in my timing? So the prophet would come up and share with the people that they need to turn back to God. They need to repent and get things right with the Lord. You see, righteousness is right living with God in obedience to who He is and what He has been and what He has accomplished through His Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the people cried out against, the prophets, excuse me, cried out against idolatry, cried out against immorality, while encouraging others to repent and also warning of the consequences that were to come if they didn't turn back to God. Elijah's first battle, that as we move through our story this morning, kind of sets the stage of things to happen. So let me share with you your first source of battle. That is being on your knees and being in prayer. It's exactly what Elijah did. Chapter 17, about verses 1 and 2, and we see again, and we read in James in the New Testament, chapter 5, about verse 17-ish, how he was a righteous man. The power of prayer in a righteous man availeth or accomplishes much. And Elijah prayed for it not to rain. God answered that prayer. You say, well, why would Elijah pray such a prayer for it not to rain? Now remember what the prophet was supposed to do? Here's what was happening. Spiritually, Israel was in drought. And they had become so calloused to their way of living that they neglected to worship the only one who deserves worship. They had started following after false gods. They had started following after their self. So their spiritual lives was in a serious drought. But they didn't care. So through God's guidance and Elijah's prayer, Elijah prayed for it not to rain. Because you know what was going to happen if it didn't rain? Drought would come. And they would recognize soon and very soon, because it did not rain, their crops would not make. Because their crops did not make, the food upon their tables would run out. Because the food on the tables run out, because the crops did not make, because the creeks didn't have water in them, their health was going to go south. What a prayer. Do you know how long it didn't rain? 3.5 years. And I don't know about you, but that's a mighty powerful prayer. And the God that answered that prayer yesterday can still answer our prayers today. There's no struggle, there's no difficulty, there's no trial or tribulation that you may be facing or going through, even though you feel all alone, that God cannot handle. He loves you that much. It may not be your way of handling, but we need to trust His way of handling the entire situation. So chalk one up for God. He was real and active and alive, and Elijah should have known it very well. But during this time of drought, God also encouraged Elijah along the way, because he sent the brook that he first sent him to, it ran out of water. God fed him through the ravens. God fed him while he was at the brook, the creek. It dried up because of the prayer. God said, all right, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. Let me provide for you there. And in Zarephath, Elijah runs across this woman and her son. God tells him, he says, go there. There'll be this woman and her son. They're going to be struggling, and I want you to go there. And he meets her. And you know what the first thing that we recognize in the story that's happening? It's not rain where she's at either. Food's running out. The flour for biscuits, it's running dry. The oil to prepare them, it's just about gone. And the fact of the matter, you read the text just prior to 19, verse chapter 17, you read the text and it shares that she was so caught up and nothing was being provided for her, she felt all alone, that she was going to go make a meal for her and her son for their last meal. And she figured that after this, we're going to die. Because there's nothing else left to eat. You know what Elijah says when he meets the woman? He didn't say, I'm going to give you all the food you need. That's not the first thing he said. Oftentimes, that's exactly what we want for God to do. We get in the middle of left field, and we feel all alone, and we want God to say something like, I'm going to provide your every need. Though he does in Scripture, we just miss it and we forget about it. The first thing that Elijah said is this, woman, bake me some bread. And she's thinking, man, you're crazy. This is my last meal. Me and my son are going to eat it. How many of us here would not say something like that? Elijah says, fix me some bread. Obviously, as you read through the story, this woman must have known God and his provisions. Had faith that if she'd live or die, it was going to be all right. You know what she did? She made him some bread. You know what else God did? That flour that just down to its last cup, that oil that was down to its last cup, that was there. She was fixing to make her last meal. She made breakfast, lunch, and dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a certain amount of time, and the flour and oil didn't run out. I don't know about you, but that sets me on fire. Knowing that my God's faithfulness, my God's love, he's going to provide for me my every need. It may not be the way I look at it, but the way he looks at it, the way he sees, he will provide for me everything. And guess what? It will not run out. It will never run out. So if you, like me, have done a lot of things in life and you felt alone, we need to turn to our Lord and Savior whose love never runs out. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24 says, great is his faithfulness. His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The struggles and difficulties that happened yesterday, the struggles and difficulties that happened today, will be same and similar struggles and difficulties that we face tomorrow unless Christ returns. But the one thing remains true, I believe it's Hebrews 13, about verse 5-ish, says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You can trust him. You can rely upon him. His love will never end. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. So listen as we see in 1 Kings 17, 15 through 16, because I shared it with you, and I want to read to you from the text because it's God's word, not Greg's word. So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. Then the woman, Elijah, and her household ate for many days. The flour did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry. According to the word of the Lord, he had spoken through Elijah. In faith, God supplied their needs. In faith, God supplies our needs. Let me share something else with you. Stories about Elijah, they don't stop there. Man, if we were going through life, how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us said, boy, I wished I was like Elijah, had the faith of Elijah. You know, God was with him so much, so strong, so evident. We neglect to look at how Elijah felt all alone and abandoned. If we were truthful, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior this morning, you have victory in Jesus. You have everything to be excited about. You have no reason to feel all alone. No matter what struggle you're facing, no matter what friend has left you, no matter what difficulty you're going through, no matter what God has called for you to do. You see, God does not set up His people for failure. He sets up His people for success to bring honor and glory to His name. Are you doing it? The story continues forward. Elijah goes to battle against 450 Baal prophets. And we often just rest there, but there's also 400 Asherah prophets that comes alongside. The focus on these scriptures is against the prophets of Baal, yes, and we'll go a little bit further here in just a moment. But the thing that's difficult that we look at because of Israel, God's people, God's nation, the people He called to bring the message of the Messiah coming, were being led by a king who was worshiping Baal, a false god and a false prophet. He and his wife Jezebel were misleading the people of Israel. You see that in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 29 through 31. They worshiped a false god and not the one true God. You see, a false god can be a prophet. A false god can be television. A false god can be work. A false god can be ministry. You could be doing something good and important, but if you're not going in love and in obedience to God, you're going for the wrong reasons. We never go to work and say, God, come join me. We always see God at work and join Him. But these 450 Baal prophets, God sent Elijah in there. He told him, here's what I want you to do. And Elijah issues to King Ahab, said, let's contemporize a little bit. Ahab, I know you've been after me. I'm trying to share with you God loves you. He just wants you to repent. What are we going to do, Ahab? I'm going to keep following this. I'm going to keep going after that. Elijah kind of running out of things to say seemingly. Let's have a contest. Let's have a contest. That's really kind of what happens. I tell you what, Ahab, you get all your 450 prophets of Baal and you bring them together, and Ahab does, he one-ups him on that. He calls all of Israel in. You see, God's at work in the details. He'll bring everybody to see the challenge, the difficulty, and the struggle you're going through so that God can receive the glory. And oftentimes we miss it. The bystanders, they get impacted just as much as the people that's being focused upon. So the 450 Baal prophets come together, one Elijah, one God. Says, here's what we'll do. Let's build two altars. You call upon your God. You call upon Baal. And we'll get this thing started. Whatever God responds, that'll be the one true God. So the Baal prophets, boy, they're so excited. They think, wow, we'll do this. So they start calling upon their God. Come join us. Come help us. Come do this. Come accept this offering. Nothing. Day and hours continues on. Nothing. Nothing's happened. So Elijah, he kind of snickers. Hey, prophets, maybe your God has wandered away. My God stays with me. Call upon Him a little louder. You know what they do? They cut their sails. They call upon their God Baal louder. Still, no response. You know what Elijah thinks then? Maybe he's on the road somewhere. Maybe he's just gone down the road a little ways. Maybe you need to get a little louder. Boy, they just start louder and louder. Can you imagine 450 men talking loud, top of their voice, yelling, Baal, come to us. Have you gone away? If that had a cell phone, you know what they'd done? They'd tell you, I tried to call him. You know what? He wouldn't answer. He's not there. Elijah continues further. I know what it is. Baal's asleep. Baal's asleep. You'll have to wake him up. You'll have to rouse him up. I don't know if you ever watched Andy Griffith's show before. I don't know why I'm going down Andy Griffith Road, but I will. But Barney is asleep on a bed, and Andy comes in, makes all this noise. He has an air horn. He blows in his ear. And he's up. Barney jumps up. A lot more takes place. But Andy gives him a hard time, saying, "Man, if you'll come in, boy, I'm up." After he done hollered and yelled at him. But you know something? They hollered and yelled, the air horn, they did all they could. But Baal, you know what? He didn't wake up. You know why? He wasn't there. You see, in life, we try to call on, like I shared earlier, television. We try to place God in work, maybe not intentionally, but anything we put priority in, anything we place emphasis on, anything we place above God that becomes a God, little g, an idol to us. So we've got to be on guard. We've got to be on guard. So as the story moves forward, the Baal prophets did all these things, still no response. You know what? It doesn't say it in the scripture, but I'm going to kind of share with you what I think. You know what Elijah said? My turn. It's my turn. So Elijah placed the bull upon the altar. He puts the wood upon the altar, and he digs a trench around the altar, and then he takes these pots of water, four pots, and he fills it full of water, and he pours it upon the altar, and do it again. And they do it again, and they do it again. And they do it again, so three times, the four pots of water, there's so much water, it's drenched. There's water in the trench. And he said, "My Lord and my God, to show this people Israel that you are the one and only true God, will you accept this sacrifice?" And boom, the fire came down from heaven. It burnt the bull. It burnt the wood. It burnt the stones. It singed the dust. God was real. He was alive. And he was active. Praise the Lord in your life when you feel alone. He is active. He may be behind the scenes, but don't look away because he is active. You need to recognize and realize just how true and just how much he is working in your heart and your life. And you think, wow, we're so excited about what Elijah has done. He must be on fire. But you know what happened next? Do you know what happened next? Number two, and you fill in the blank. How can I stop feeling alone? Stop fearing. Stop fearing. After all this fighting, after all this effort, after watching God at work, here's what caused Elijah to fear and to feel alone. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "May the gods punish me and do so severely if," that was little g by the way, "if I don't make your life like the one of them that you've just taken a life of by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. I don't know about you, but there's just something seems silly about that. After God, all that God has done, all things that take place, one person stands up and said, "You better quit." And he stops, he runs, he's scared. He's afraid for his life. God has just stood for him in thick and thin. In a time of difficulty, God provided. In a time against opposition, God proved his honor and his glory. God is real. Elijah was afraid. Do not raise your hand. How many of us have been that way this morning? God is so real in our lives. We can't help but see it. We cannot miss it. And when times get tough, we run. We're afraid. We have fear overwhelm us. It's because you've taken your eyes off the one who did it for you. Just like Elijah, and you've placed it on yourself. You may not see it in the scripture, but underlying, what does Elijah do? He's afraid he's going to lose his life. Even though he's just had huge
huge victory and seen how powerful God is. One against 450, that's pretty good numbers. But he still felt alone. It don't matter if it's 450 or 450 billion. God will be with you. And never leave you. And never forsake you. Stop fearing that something difficult is going to come your way. That something you're not going to know how to do is going to cross your path. Guess what? That's all of life. We don't know what tomorrow is going to be. But we should know who holds tomorrow. Stop fearing about the struggles and difficulties in life we have. Things that we face with uncertainty. Trust in the one that has provided every need and everything in and with us and for us. Why is it that, just like Elijah, we have victories? We can see God at work around us. And we can have all these wonderful and great testimonies of things that God has done for us. But when troubles come, we feel alone. By ourselves. Not knowing which way to turn. And the first thing we do, we run. We run away from God instead of running to God. He didn't say struggles and difficulties wouldn't come. He just told you which direction to turn. You can run towards Him or you can run away from Him. Which one will you do? Stop fearing the unknown. Because the one that holds our hand is the same one that holds tomorrow. It's the same one that we can put our faith and our trust in. Keep fighting because God fights for you. God fights in you. God fights through you. Just like He did every step of the way for Elijah. Learn from the mistake of Elijah. When life is difficult and your so-called friends abandon you, trust God has a real friend in store for you. Or maybe, just maybe, God's at work in the life of the friend that has let you down. He's trying to get a hold of his or her life to cause them to be a true friend, to step up and be a representative of Jesus Christ, to live a life worthy of the gospel. According to His will and not their own. Either way, trust God in faith. Trust God to provide. Number three, you fill in the blank real quick like. How can I stop feeling alone? Stay focused. This is how we keep fighting. This is how we stop fearing. We stay focused. We don't allow our past, whether it's full of struggles and difficulties and chaos, or it's full of serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ day in, day out. We never stop serving. We serve 24/7 as long as we draw breath in our life. No matter if we're 9 or 909, we serve the Lord with gladness. We worship Him. We remain focused. As we see in our text, Elijah ran away and thought he was all alone. God showed him otherwise. No, Elijah, you're not alone. He could have said it something like this. Greg, you've got brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling, who are facing adversity, who also feel all alone. That I want to receive the power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a new touch, a new feel, a new zeal. You know what that news like? The same it was yesterday. The same it was the day before. We need to just get our focus off of self and chaos. You know, as I've shared with you, Satan wants us to be busy, burdened under Satan's yoke. He wants us to think all this world is so filled with good things and laughter, and we get so busy and going here and there, we forget spending time at the feet of Jesus and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that gave His life for you and for me, the one that is no longer dead. He now lives because the tomb is empty. And He wants to live in and through you. And He wants you to know you
are not alone. Keep fighting. Stay the course. Remain focused. Elijah became fearful and exhausted because the times were tough. As I shared with you a moment ago, times are tough then. Times are tough now. Times will be tough tomorrow. But our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, remains forever. And He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And I want you to hear this if you heard nothing. God proved His love for you in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I'm going to conclude with this statement. Does everything you do bring God glory? Or do you feel all alone? You need to start fighting, or keep fighting. Stop fearing. Stay focused. Because the Bible shares that His love never ends. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. And see what it shares about love. How love never ends. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. He loves you. And you're not alone. Most importantly, you have Him to turn to. But next, and definitely not least, you have each other. God gifted you with each other to live life hand in hand, serving, worshiping our Creator, our Provider, our Redeemer. His name is Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as we get ready for song of invitation, the Bible shares in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The gift is yours and it's yours for the taking. Let go and let God. Christian, you may be here this morning, and you too, like Elijah, you've seen God at work. You know He's real. You felt His presence. But at the very moment that you're going through in life right now, you feel all alone. Let me tell you the same thing I just told others. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. He will provide, and He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. If that's you this morning, I urge you, I plead with you, won't you come as we stand, as we sing hymn number 182. Won't you come?